This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. Affirmative action in college admissions, no more after the U.S. Supreme Court overturned policies at Harvard and the University of North Carolina. Legal analyst Jessica Levinson says it was a 6-3 ruling.
We might see colleges and universities put more weight, for instance, on where did you grow up? Do your parents have graduate degrees? What zip code did you grow up in? But colleges and universities throughout the country, this applies to all private and public universities and colleges, cannot explicitly use race when they're making a decision about who to admit.
I'm Allison Keyes in Washington. On Capitol Hill, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says the court's ruling has put a giant roadblock in our country's march toward racial justice. But Senate Republican Leader Mitch McConnell says colleges can no longer discriminate against bright and ambitious students based on the color of their skin. The Congressional Black Caucus calls the ruling radical and says the Supreme Court has thrown into question its own legitimacy.
And the justices were unanimous in their ruling in favor of a former postal worker who claimed religious discrimination against the Postal Service because working Sunday conflicted with his beliefs. Legal analyst Lori Levinson.
They're making it harder for employers to not accommodate religious rights, making it easier for employees to assert those religious rights in getting accommodations at their workplace.
Hazy, smoky conditions remain an issue in parts of the northern half of the country because of wildfires in Canada. This man lives in Detroit.
My eyes have been watering. My throat has been sore. I've been coughing. It's really, and I've been indoors mostly for the last 3 days.
High heat warnings stretch throughout the South. At least 13 deaths are blamed on the relentless conditions in Texas. There's word Madonna has been released from a New York City hospital after treatment for a serious bacterial infection that reportedly included intubation. Medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder.
Bacterial infections can be deadly if they are allowed to go untreated. And in people who have immunosuppression or chronic medical conditions, they can also be quite dangerous.
The CDC says today people 60 and older can get a new RSV vaccine this fall, but should talk about it first with their doctor. And CBS's Jim Krasula tells us.
The Commonwealth Fund's 2023 scorecard on state health system performance ranked states based on health care access and affordability, reproductive health care access and outcomes, premature death rates, medical debt, and other factors. The top five states with the highest overall health system scores are Massachusetts, Hawaii, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, and Vermont.
This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Viking.
Now what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon, I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. People in Wisconsin are breathing the worst air in nearly a quarter century. The air quality index was 225 this morning. Health experts say any number in the 200s is unhealthy. The old record for poor air quality in Wisconsin was 165. If that weren't bad enough, the drought in Wisconsin is getting worse. 81% of Wisconsin is experiencing drought conditions. Nearly 17% of the state is under a severe drought. That's more than twice as much as last week. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot has more coming up in our Civic Media Forecast. Scientists are turning to Wisconsin farmers to help protect some species from the impacts of climate change. Mike Moen reports.
In the southern half of the state, Deirdre Birmingham and her husband have operated a cider tree farm for 2 decades. But it's not just apples they're producing. Creating a habitat for pollinators is another priority, with a variety of prairie plants and shrubs running through sections of the orchard. Because the farm is a multifaceted landscape of forest and crop trees and prairie, it's seen as relatively buffered from climate change. Experts say as extreme heat and drought wither plants, obliterate pollen, and dry up water sources, agricultural settings like these could help a lot more species survive. I'm Mike Moen.
Wisconsin Senate Republicans are forcing a confirmation vote for Wisconsin's embattled elections chief. That's even though the state's 6 elections commissioners intentionally split on Megan Wolf's renomination the other night. Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu tells reporters the Senate is on firm legal ground.
It was a unanimous vote, 3-0.
three Democrats abstained from voting.
Right, they could have voted no. They didn't vote no. That would have been a tied vote, but it was a unanimous vote.
The statute says two-thirds of the members. It doesn't say two-thirds of voting members. Have you gotten legal advice on interpretation of that?
3-0 is a two-thirds vote.
But Commissioner Ann Jacobs tells WIS Politics it takes four votes to nominate an elections commissioner. Wolf's reappointment appears likely to be headed to the courts. The next stop for the state budget is this afternoon in the Wisconsin Assembly. Melissa Kay reports.
The budget cuts taxes by $3.5 billion and increases spending on K-12 education. Senator Dewey Strobel says the Republican majority is handling the taxpayers' money responsibly.
A budget that really touches on many facets of life in Wisconsin that I feel provides a benefit to all of our constituents.
But Democrats say too much money goes to tax cuts for the rich. Senator Mark Spreitzer says the budget cuts child care subsidies and the University of Wisconsin system while ignoring the governor's call for paid family leave.
You had a $7 billion surplus and you cut child care and higher ed? What are we even doing here?
The Senate passed the tax and spending bill last night. Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
One of Wisconsin's highest-ranking elected black leaders says it's mind-blowing the United States Supreme Court struck down affirmative action for college admissions today. David Crowley is the Milwaukee County executive.
When you look at the data, it still shows that people of color, women, so on and so forth, the list goes on and on, still needs access to opportunities. Whether we're talking about employment, whether we're talking about education, we know that we still have a long way to go.
That's Crowley with Kristen Bry on Civic Media's As Goes Wisconsin this morning. Just a reminder, you need a sticker to get into Wisconsin State Parks this weekend. The Department of Natural Resources recommends you buy state park passes online and skip the long lines that sometimes happen on busy holiday weekends. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. Good afternoon, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Despite a bit of rain in the past week, drought continues to expand in Wisconsin, affecting the growing season for corn, soybeans, strawberries, and other crops. With more, here's Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Drought continues to expand in Wisconsin despite some recent rainfall. Stream flows in the upper Midwest have fallen to below the 10th percentile, and soil moisture evaporation has accelerated due to dry conditions over the past 2 months. Severe drought has now spread to nearly one-sixth of the state, doubling in the southwest Wisconsin area in just 1 week, prompting historical impacts such as lower crop yields, much higher use of groundwater for irrigation, and slower pasture growth. The USDA said currently 70% of the nation's corn-growing area is also in a drought. However, above-average temperatures and above-normal precipitation is expected for Wisconsin over the next week. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
Severe drought has doubled in southwestern Wisconsin, where most of the state's corn is grown. A second person has been sentenced in the 2020 murder of a Hayward man. Ryan Steinhoff was sentenced to life in prison in Dunn County Circuit Court on Wednesday. The other person, Ashley Gunder, is currently serving a 25-year prison sentence. A third person, Chad Turgeson, was found not guilty during a jury trial. The three were charged in the murder of Bruce McGuigan. A teenager is charged in the death of a child in La Crosse County earlier this month. The 16-year-old boy, with initials KR, is facing a first-degree intentional homicide charge after telling investigators he hit his niece, which caused her death on June 14th. By statute, the teenager is being charged as an adult, but the case could still move to juvenile court. He is being held at the La Crosse County Jail on a $250,000 cash bond. A man is dead after trying to reset a headstone in a cemetery early Monday morning in Iowa County. The sheriff's office said 73-year-old Kenneth Gruber of Gotham died at a Dodgeville hospital with injuries he suffered when the headstone came loose. The headstone was over 100 years old. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. The wildfire smoke begins to ease up and exit the state by tonight. This is allowing some sunshine to make its way through for a brighter day ahead. A slice of heat will cut across the state from the Mississippi Valley, along the state line, and into the Fox Valley, bringing highs in the upper 80s to low 90s. Meanwhile, northwest Wisconsin and lakeside towns will remain a tad cooler and hit highs in the upper 70s to low 80s. It'll be a mainly dry and breezy day, with winds out of the northwest gusting up to 20 miles per hour. A few showers and storms look to fire up in northwest Wisconsin again by late this afternoon and into the early evening hours as they trek southeastward. None are expected to be severe. However, they have the possibility of some strong winds frequent lightning, and small hail. Have a tremendous Thursday and stay cool, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Brewers get the win thanks to Yelich. Good afternoon. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Top of the eighth, two outs, the bases loaded after a controversial no-strike call put Joey Weimer on first, and that brought up Christian Yelich to the plate. Brian Anderson on Valley Sports Wisconsin.
And here is Yelich up the middle, and it's through for a base hit. Anderson is in to score. Perkins will score, and Christian Yelich comes through. Two RBI single for Yelich. The Brewers stretch their lead to 5-2, and the Boo Birds are out at Citi Field.
The Brewers go on to win 5-2. Yelich 3-for-5. The Brewers have left runners stranded on base this series, but Yelich has kept them going throughout the month of June.
It's been tough for us, but you just got to keep going. It'll turn eventually, and you just want to put together good at bats in those situations. You know, take a good swing at a good pitch, and you do that enough times, and eventually it'll turn for you.
Manager Craig Counsell on Yelich as the Brewers leadoff hitter.
His at bats have been really, really solid. You know, our first inning pressure has been caused by him being just on base. I mean, it's like 6 out of 7 or 5 out of 6 games, base hit to lead off the game.
Mets pitcher Adam Ottavino.
You just got to live with it, and you got to overcome stuff. We're not overcoming stuff. I had a chance to get Yelich out there. Ground ball finds the hole. Could have overcame it. Didn't overcome it. That's just an example.
Buck Showalter ejected from the game for the second time this week. The Mets have lost 17 of their last 23. Mets team owner Steve Cohen held a press conference before the game.
When we pitch well, we don't hit. When we hit, we don't pitch well. It's kind of weird. And I don't know if the players are anxious. I don't know if they're pressing. I mean, I assume that's a little bit of that. We see a lot of mental errors. We've lost games because of it. And there's nobody to blame. And it's really across the whole team.
Game 4 of the series tonight. First pitch at 6:10. No runs, no hits, no walks. The Yankees' Domingo Herman pitched a perfect game last night in Oakland. An 11-0 win over the A's. It's the 24th perfect game in Major League history. Basketball, the NBA approving a new collective bargaining agreement. The list of Bucks free agents continues to grow. Add Javon Carter, who played in 81 games last season, declining his option with the team. Brooke Lopez set for free agency on ESPN.
Where do you want to play next season?
You know, obviously I love to win, so that's important to me. You know, actually, I was thinking Montreal, but they don't even have a baseball team anymore, so that might not work.
Hockey in the first round of the NHL draft. The Minnesota Wild selected Wisconsin Badgers center Charlie Strammel with the 21st pick. Strammel originally from Minnesota. Golf, round 1 of the U.S. Seniors Open today in Stevens Point. Wisconsin's Steve Stricker on Playing at Century World.
It's great to be able to hop in your car and drive up the road to compete here, you know, at a place that I won at 39 years ago. It's pretty crazy that all this time has flown by, but yeah, it's a special spot.
That's golfer Steve Stricker. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Walks, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson and Walks today. 855-954-1186.
All in to win. Gingras Thompson and Walks. GTWLawyers.com.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny with highs in the mid to upper 80s. Slight chance of a thunderstorm this afternoon. For tonight, slight chance of a storm, otherwise mostly clear, 62. Sunshine and 85 on your Friday. For Saturday, mostly sunny, a high of 87. Sunny and 88 on Sunday.
Currently, 75 degrees.
Joining us today, this is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. You are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you would like to participate in today's forum, give us a call, shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution, joined by Luke Mathers, as always. Luke, how are you on this Thursday afternoon?
I'm doing well, Will. I was trying to, you know, make a way through the tough air that we're having. It's feeling a little pent up. It's kind of a cabin fever feeling in the middle of June, end of June. That's a weird one. Volleyball canceled last night because of the air quality conditions. So stay safe out there, folks. The air is hopefully set to improve, but it is absolutely still pretty treacherous conditions with the smoke coming down and the ozone combining as well with those Canadian wildfires. So
we're making a little bit of progress, Luke. It's less Mad Max today like it was yesterday, and more like the, you ever watch a Breaking Bad will be my example, how whenever they shoot from Mexico, there's like an orange tinge to the camera. That's how they try to like show the audience that you're in a different location. We're more to that point today instead of like the dystopian future we were at yesterday. And we got Luke Mathers on the board today. Luke, how are you doing today?
Retweet. Same as the previous Luke Mathers. Both versions of Luke doing well.
As we know, Aaron's moving today, so best wishes out to you, Aaron. Got to get it done. It is no fun, but it is necessary. And Luke, today I want to present a question to the audience based on a story that we were talking about before the show we caught on JS Online. My question for you, the people of Wisconsin, should Wisconsin institutions of higher education be mandated to accept high-performing graduates from within the state? Reading from a piece at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, grads in top 5% of their high school class guaranteed a seat at UW-Madison under new GOP bill. The article notes that Wisconsin high school graduates who rank in the top 5% of their high school graduating class will be guaranteed admission, not just to the University of Wisconsin-Madison, but they would be promised a seat at all UW system institutions and technical colleges that they apply to. Most of Wisconsin's public colleges and universities already operate as open access institutions, meaning they accept the overwhelming majority of applicants at the flagship location of UW-Madison, which is obviously a little bit more selective. It accepted 49% of new freshman applicants last fall, including 60% of Wisconsin applicants, 45% of Minnesota applicants, 35% of international applicants, and 51% out of state applicants. So my question to you, people of Wisconsin, please share your thoughts with us. 844-967-2789. Is this acceptable? Can the state government mandate institutions of higher learning to accept certain students? Or is that, government overreach? We like to talk about party of small government quite frequently. Well, here, the Wisconsin GOP has decided that the public institutions are not accepting the right students. So they are going to force these students to be accepted as long as they graduate in the top 5% of their high school class. Thoughts, Luke?
Well, it's a pretty interesting day to talk about these mandates. We've also got a decision out of the U.S. Supreme Court, Will, that is striking down affirmative action. So college admissions cannot be based on race. And that Supreme Court ruling coming out this morning, so still analysis coming down on that. But the aspect of higher education and what's going on here in the state of Wisconsin and nationally is on the mind of a lot of folks right now. I think it's telling as well that this is a proposal that's working now through the state legislature, as last night the state Senate passed a version of the upcoming biannual budget that did not invest in the University of Wisconsin. It cut the budget compared to the previous 2-year budget for the UW system. So this is a legislature that is asking the UW system, the crown jewel of Wisconsin, in a lot of ways. You could also, you know, argue it's the Apostle Islands up in Lake Superior or the Green Bay Packers that are the crown jewel, but the UW system pretty high up on that list of one of the best aspects of Wisconsin. And we have a legislature that's asking it to do more, accept more students, mandate that anybody in the top 5% of their class admissions to the University of Wisconsin system with less, with $32 million less for this upcoming 2-year budget cycle. And so it's a very interesting time right now. We want to hear your thoughts on it. 844-967-2789. You can call or text here on Town Call. But we're talking higher education and what should be expected of our higher education institutions like the UW system. Is this, it's not a new proposal, Will. It is something that other states do. University system in both California and Texas have mandates for admissions for in-state students. And it was something
I will note, Luke, California and Texas guaranteed admission policies are for the top 9 and 10% of in-state high school students. So Wisconsin would be a little bit more strict than both of those states.
Yes, but initially this proposal, it seems like this provision's been removed, but it was for all, any high school student around the country that was finishing in the top 5% of their class would get automatic acceptance to the University of Wisconsin system. And so scaled back already in the circulation of this draft proposal, but a very interesting one that now that there is this version of this state budget that has passed the state Senate, going to go before the assembly today, that is cutting the UW system's budget, but then a proposal following that saying you have to do more, you have to admit more students. It's an interesting dynamic, Will.
Especially for you as a UW-Madison grad, you noted the, can you touch, give a little bit of context as to the engineering building debacle that we're facing at UW-Madison right now for an institution that's now being told you have to accept this many more students, but is already struggling to be able to bring in as many students as they want from particular majors, in this case at engineering.
Well, this is reading from the piece over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Kelly Meyerhoff with the headline, grads in the top 5% of their high school class guaranteed a seat at UW-Madison under GOP bill. And Meyerhoff has a quote in this piece from the proposal's author. We've instituted a brain drain by allowing our best and brightest to be exported to other universities in other states, and we just don't think that makes sense, said State Rep Jerry O'Connor of Fond du Lac, one of the bill's authors. And it's interesting to point out a brain drain because currently the University of Wisconsin, Madison, cannot accept all of the engineering students that it wants to because the current facilities for the School of Engineering at UW-Madison is at capacity. They cannot, there's no space for any more students. And there was a top priority of the UW system, according to people familiar with the priorities for the system, saying that the new engineering building was a top priority for this upcoming 2-year budget cycle, and it got removed. We have a $7 billion surplus, and without explanation, the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, the very powerful committee that writes the state budget, and that version of that the JFC wrote is what is being passed. There's not a whole lot of amendments, and we can talk about that a little bit more from the state Senate votes last night that threw out some of those amendments that were proposed to changing the JFC's version of the 2-year budget. But the JFC just, without explanation, said, no, we're not going to fund the new engineering building at UW-Madison, and that's going to lead to a brain drain. That's going to lead to the state's university system not being able to accept as many students and put them through the engineering program here in Wisconsin because that lack of investment, even though we're going to take half of a surplus, $7 billion surplus, and turn it around into tax cuts. $3.5 billion worth of tax cuts instead of investing in the university system that is now being told after that budget. It looks like it's going to pass the state assembly. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss saying that he, too, was going to take up the version the Joint Finance Committee passed last week without any major revisions to it. And so there's no additional funding to put behind a new policy saying 5%, the top 5% of any high school graduate in the state of Wisconsin can then attend these schools. And it seems interesting, but we want to hear your thoughts on it. 844-967-2789. Do you believe that the state the public university system here in Wisconsin should have a mandate for accepting in-state high school graduates for the UW system?
I think another interesting point, Luke, that you just touched on a little bit, but I want to dive into it a little bit more is, you know, we are not that far out of our high school days, right? You and I, we're getting older. We're not young bucks anymore, but we were in high school 10 years ago. And as the piece, a little bit over 10 years, 11 years, but that's close enough that for the sake of the argument, I'm going to stick with it. And for my mental health, I'm also going to stick with it. But the JS Online piece notes that exactly how many students who rank in the top 5% of their class and receive rejections from UW-Madison was unclear. UW-Madison did not provide data, but said 61% of Wisconsin applicants rejected from UW-Madison stay in state, with most enrolling at a different UW campus. UW-Madison, quote, shares the goal of ensuring that Wisconsin's top high school students stay in the state for college, unquote. And it uses a holistic admissions process, taking into account a range of factors, the rigor of an applicant's high school record and GPA ranked as the most important. Republicans have pushed for more transparency in the college admissions process, having previously called for admissions counselors to rely only on objective criteria in their decision, which Governor Tony Evers vetoed last session. I have to wonder, Luke, going through high school as in 10-ish years ago, you know, we were told that grades are important, don't get me wrong, but they want to see a well-rounded, well-balanced student, right? Your standardized test scores also matter. Your extracurricular activities also matter. Any sports you may have participated in, any volunteer opportunities you may have done, all of these things mattered because colleges want to see a strong, well-rounded, well-built student capable of flourishing in the diverse ecosystem that is American college. And if you're going to now turn around and reject all of those other notions of merit and only require GPA as the standalone factor, I think you're doing a disservice to some of the students who may have very strong skill sets outside of what's, you know, stereotypically considered a good student. I don't think that grades are the best means of raw intelligence. I think there's a reason that other, you know, I'll give you a shout out right now, Luke. We were talking before the show. I didn't know Luke was an Eagle Scout. That's incredibly impressive. Those type of things schools want to see because A, it shows dedication. It shows that you're willing to put the work in. It shows drive. It shows effort. It's a valuable skill set that a college would be very, very, would make a very strong, a student a very strong member of the college's class. And if we're going to immediately dismiss that, I think you're doing a disservice to tons and tons of high school applicants. So we're going to continue touching on this after the break. Should Wisconsin institutions be mandated to accept graduates from within the state if they are high performing? Give us a call, 844-967-2789, or shoot us a text. Hit us up on social media. Plenty of opportunities available. Participate in the forum today if you're interested. We'll talk to you right after the break.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News special report. President Biden is due to comment soon on the Supreme Court ruling against affirmative action in college admissions. CBS's Major Garrett reads from the opinion penned by Chief Justice John Roberts.
Quote, Harvard's and UNC's, meaning University of North Carolina's, admissions programs violate the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment.
CBS's Ed O'Keefe on the reaction from former President Obama.
So often we just accept that money, power, and privilege are perfectly justifiable forms of affirmative action, while kids growing up like I did are expected to compete when the ground is anything but level.
Former President Trump said the decision marked a great day for America. Evan Kamenker is a former dean at the University of Michigan Law School.
This is actually the second time then in 2 years, including Roe v. Wade, that the court has overruled a 50-year-old precedent that had such significant impact on our society.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Steve Kathan.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. Good afternoon, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Drought continues to expand in the state, now affecting over 81% of Wisconsin. That includes all of western Wisconsin, especially in the lower Wisconsin River Valley, where the area of severe drought has doubled in just 1 week. Forecasters say some relief may be on the way. Wisconsin's expected to have above normal precipitation over the next 6 to 10 days. A teenager is charged in the death of a child in La Crosse County earlier this month. A 16-year-old boy with initials KR is facing a first-degree intentional homicide charge after he told investigators he hit his niece, which caused her death on June 14th. By statute, the teenager is being charged as an adult, but the case could still move to juvenile court. He is being held at the La Crosse County Jail on a $250,000 cash bond. And a western Wisconsin city's growth means more wells. The city of Altoona is adding 2 new wells to bring its total to 9. Each well will cost about $1 million. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to 3 different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
Calling to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Mattenair.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
Who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, please give us a call, shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. Today we are talking higher education in the state of Wisconsin, in particular, an elected Republican proposal to guarantee admissions at any UW system institution for high school graduates in the top 5% of their high school graduating class. As we touched on before the break a little bit, Luke, there are a lot of ways outside of just GPA that can determine the quality of a student. You have standardized test scores. You have volunteer opportunities. You have post-curricular activities. There are so many different ways that colleges want to see a well-rounded individual. At least this was what I was told going through high school.
Back in your day.
Back in my day, they did things a little bit different. We wanted a well-rounded individual instead of somebody who just had a high GPA, which also, you know, perhaps I'm naive and perhaps I'm too simplistic and I'm seeing the world through too golden of a lens, but I don't think grades and the route, the place you finish in your graduating class is already hyper competitive. And I think that almost does a poor job of creating a good atmosphere for critical thought. You're not teaching students to flourish. You're teaching them to beat each other. And there are places where competition is good. High school sports, for example, is a good way to learn that there are winners, there are losers. You have to work hard to accomplish your goals, all that kind of thing. But education is meant to be uplifting. You know, what's the phrase? High tides lift all boats.
Rising
tides lift all boats. We are all there to learn. Everybody's going to learn at their own rate, but high school is kind of the moment where you're really exposed to that next generation of preparing yourself for the future. And by forcing these arbitrary lines that you have to be in this percentage if you want to be guaranteed to go to the school that you want, I don't know. I think we're kind of incentivizing competition in a situation that should be more about corroboration than anything else. And you noted something interesting, Luke, about why this idea came to the forefront right now. We touched on how Republicans have been looking for more transparency in the college admissions process, but how individual parents are using anecdotal experience, according to Republicans, as they brought the bill forth after hearing constituent calls with stories of, quote, high achieving students, unquote, rejected from UW-Madison and having to enroll out of state.
Well, there was a lot of time for constituent services last year with the Republican legislature adjourning for 9 months out of the year. So they were taking a lot of calls, and it's understandably so that after a long period of constituent services that you would see legislation that would address those concerns. And apparently that is the basis for how this proposal came to be. As you noted, the story from state lawmakers in the reporting on how this proposal came to be is that there's upset parents that UW-Madison is not accepting their children to the state's top school in the crown jewel, the UW system here in Wisconsin. And so it's interesting to note that that is the track for how this got to be a proposal. I'm not saying it's a terrible idea. I would love to hear our individual's thoughts on it, 844-967-2789. I'm not saying that if an institution that is publicly funded, as the University of Wisconsin is, I think we should have a state government, though, that's going to invest in that school system then and meet the demands, like the engineering demands the state has, and invest in new facilities so that we can have more engineering students here and hopefully keep them in Wisconsin. I think that it's a very interesting dynamic that the same time this mandated proposal of accepting the top 5% of any in-state high school student is coming immediately after, during a time of economic prosperity, a $7 billion surplus for the state, the UW system is being cut by $32 million. And that is because that there are diversity offices on campuses. The Republican-led legislature has voiced it. It's not a secret. That's why the UW system is being cut. Voss,
they word for word said that. Yes.
Robin Voss came out and said, this is the best number that we can identify that the University of Wisconsin system is spending on diversity offices, and we are going to cut its budget by $32 million. And it could choose how it's going to address that $32 million cut, which I'm sure the system will. I don't know if that means that all diversity offices are going to close if this is the past version of the budget, or if the system's going to have to take a haircut in other places to address that $32 million cut.
I think that's the threat being made, essentially, is Voss is saying, if you want everything else to stay as funded as it needs to be or as is expected to be, we just so happen to cut your budget by exactly the amount of the offices that we want removed. So either you remove all these offices and your budget will be clean everywhere else, or you're going to have to make difficult.
Not clean everywhere else, because they're not actually funding the additional provisions that the UW system requested. The UW system requested, I want to say, near $400 million. Roughly, I want to say it was in the ballpark of, I don't know the exact number, but I want to say it was in the ballpark of $400 million. Evers administration put forth, I want to say, $340 million in the Evers proposed budget. So even Evers wasn't meeting the same demand that UW system was asking for. And that all got turned away. And instead, a $32 million cut to the system for diversity offices. And it's an interesting dynamic to take to have both of these going through at the same time. To have a proposal saying, why aren't more Wisconsinites being accepted to this system, and we're not going to invest in this system financially. We're actually going to cut it during a time of a $7 billion surplus. We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. You can call or text here on Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter.
Well, and Luke, you just touched on talking out of both sides of your mouth. I think another interesting tidbit in that regard would be, we hear a lot from a certain subset of elected officials that indoctrination is a major problem at our public institutions. Well, if that's the case, why are these individuals then upset? Why are constituents calling elected Republicans to complain about their high-achieving students being rejected from the school if the school is just a camp to indoctrinate your students? You know, you can't have it both ways. They're very desperate for their students to go here because they recognize how quality of an education they will receive from the UW system, particularly the crown jewel, UW-Madison, as you noted. So they're upset that their students are not being accepted into these institutions, but at the same time, then turning around and cutting funding to these institutions, talking about how these institutions are indoctrinating students into, you know, some worldview that doesn't represent the way that they want their children growing up, all these kind of things. You can't have your cake and eat it too, right? It can't be both of these things at the same time. And I think a lot of these issues are intertwined with what we're seeing at the national level. As you noted earlier, the Supreme Court today striking down affirmative action in college admissions, declaring race cannot be a factor and forcing institutions of higher education to look for new ways to achieve diverse student bodies. The court's conservative majority overturned admission plans at Harvard and the University of North Carolina, which represent the oldest private and public colleges in the country. Chief Justice John Roberts said that for too long, universities have, quote, concluded wrongly that the touchstone of an individual's identity is not challenges bested, skills built, or lessons learned, but the color of their skin. Our constitutional history does not tolerate that choice. This seems to be an issue now that's coming to the forefront of American culture. And what was really interesting, I'm reading from a piece over at the AP News discussing the Supreme Court decision today, is that both Justice Clarence Thomas and Sonia Sotomayor, the two justices who have publicly acknowledged affirmative action having played a role in their admission to college and law school, took the unusual step of reading a summary of their opinions aloud in the courtroom. Justice Thomas, the nation's second Black justice who has long called for an end to affirmative action, wrote that the decision sees the university's admissions policies for what they are, rudderless, race-based preferences designed to ensure a particular racial mix in their entering classes, while Justice Sotomayor wrote in dissent that the decision rolls back decades of precedent and momentous progress. I think Justice Thomas's opinion in particular is striking for me, because we talk frequently on the show, Luke, about rules for thee, not for me, right? Again, Justice Thomas has publicly acknowledged the role affirmative action played in admission both to college and law school. He benefited directly from these programs. Now he's turning around and trying to pull the ladder up from behind him, cutting out future students from these same opportunities that he had made available to him. I think that's gross personally, but I'd love to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. We're talking higher education in Wisconsin and the United States at whole. If you would like to participate in today's forum, please give us a call. Joe from Madison, you're up first. What's on your mind, Joe?
I've got about 4 points, and I'll make them quick. The first is, I think it's important to delineate. They're talking about kids getting into technical colleges, UW system, and UW Madison. Okay, three different sorts of things, and I would just throw into the mix number one. UW-Madison, kind of the crown jewel of the state, difficult place to get into, perhaps. They don't. They. It's important for people to understand that they are not fully funded by tax dollars from the state of Wisconsin. I think the amount of money that the UW-Madison runs on that's out of taxes from the Wisconsin population, last I heard, was around 32%, and it may be even less than that. I mean, my information is old, so it might be worth taking a look at how much of the money that UW-Madison gets is actually from taxpayer dollars, and thus taxpayers, you know, would have a larger claim to it than from grants and from gifts and all that sort of thing. The second thing I would bring up is the top 5%, that's what you're going by. Man, big difference going to school in Lodi or going to a school in Milwaukee with, you know, a graduating mm-hmm. class of 700. I mean, you know, that I think people are going to start to get very angry at. You know, geez, I can see a real problem there, and I can continue to see a problem. I think in the news break, Luke, you said that homeschooled kids, obviously they're not going to have grades that they're going to be depending on. Instead, it will be based on their ACT scores. So why wouldn't other people be able to claim, I'd like to get judged on my ACT score? And the final point I would make is that it's sadder than sad, and you guys have been talking about this, that we have a budget surplus of close to $7 billion. And, okay, obviously, there's an interest in education in the state. Why not take some of that $7 billion and throw it into the UW-Madison, throw it into technical colleges, throw it into the UW system? Obviously, there's an interest in people wanting to have their kids get great education. So why can't we do it with a $7 billion surplus? Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate the opportunity.
Excellent points, Joe. No, 100%. And it's funny you should mention the homeschooled ACT comparison as well, because that's something I have personal experience with. My standardized test scores were very strong. I was in like the top 1% ish nationally, but my grades were not as strong. And that definitely hurt me in the college application process. Again, it was a little bit north of 10 years ago, as Luke was so rude to remind me. But there are, for a state and a country that kind of prides itself on merit, it seems that we are going out of our way to create certain lines that you can make decisions based on individual circumstances rather than having a catch-all be-all. This is the way that the rules apply to everybody.
And to note for Joe, the policy, or at least this proposal that's floating, would force school boards, local school boards and public schools across the state of Wisconsin to create a criteria to possibly include ACT scores and other coursework into, and not just have it based off of GPA. So there could be some parameters there. But yes, homeschooled students would be just based on the top 5% of ACT scores, because you don't get a GPA when you're homeschooled.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and the JS Online piece notes, Luke, that Republicans have been pushing for more transparency in the college admission process, having called for admission counselors to rely only on objective criteria in their decision. Now, Governor Evers vetoed this bill last session, noting that nowhere in the bill did lawmakers define the criteria. This, to me, screams we are going to pick and choose which applicants fit the criteria and which don't. If you don't have this criteria well laid out and defined, you're going to be able to mix and match when students fall under it. Perhaps a well-connected individual matches the criteria when an identical student who's not connected does not. Where do you draw the line? So we're going to be right back after the break. We're talking higher education in the United States and Wisconsin in particular. Give us a call if you'd like to participate in today's forum, 844-967-2789. We'll see you right after the break.
One call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all.
Civic Media,
608-819-8255.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Walks. A $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson and Walks today. 855-954-1186.
All in to win. Gingras Thompson and Walks. GTWLawyers.com.
the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday, or is it Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
93.5, The Tap.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny with highs in the mid to upper 80s. Slight chance of a thunderstorm this afternoon. For tonight, slight chance of a storm, otherwise mostly clear, 62. Sunshine and 85 on your Friday. For Saturday, mostly sunny, a high of 87. Sunny and 88 on Sunday.
Currently, 78 degrees.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. We are talking higher education in the state of Wisconsin and the United States as a whole. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call, shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We got Jake from Milwaukee on the line. Jake, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I just forgot two. One, you know, John Roberts' entire career has been trying to destabilize and destroy any law underpinnings of from the Civil Rights Act, be it voting or this or anything else, union and labor, all that stuff. So this guy, John Roberts, is like the most powerful white supremacist in the United States. I mean, really, if you look at his whole career, there's no way you could call that man, I don't know, not racist. and two, you know, I think it's time to get really creative. You know, the courts are saying you can't use politics, you can't use race to, I don't know, you know, crack a district, do all that stuff. Can't use race as a thing, but you can use politics. So I think colleges and stuff should be like, hey, you're from a richer area. Even though your scores are good, we're going to say that you're probably Republican parents, so we're not going to let you in, right? So I think it's time to, like, you know, take their entire thing and, like, shove it in their face because they want to use politics to make it harder for you to vote and say, oh, it's because you're Democrats and not because of your race. Why don't we do it for schools and say, hey, now we're going to just indoctrinate people like you don't want to, and we're just not going to accept Republican, most likely Republican kids in because you guys got enough money.
And, unfortunately, and power, Jake, so. Hypocrisy only works on those capable of feeling shame. So I don't know how effective it would be, but it's definitely an interesting idea.
Hypocrisy, though, it's about, you know, pushing it in their face and getting rid of their power because that's what they do. And we have to fight them because, you know, it's good to be fair, but, you know, when you're getting constantly kicked in the stomach, you got to fight back and put them down on the ground and say, submit, because we're not going to take you anymore. And that's what they do. And that's what they've been doing to people who aren't maggot. So this is time to play rough. And I think it's time to not be nice and not be cordial. And I think it's time to just say, hey, we're sick of your stuff. And, okay, you're racist on the court. You're racist. And call them what they are. And John Roberts is the most powerful white supremacist in the United States.
Thanks for sharing, Jake. Actually, it's funny you should mention John Roberts. Luke shared a really fun meme with me the other day, which was like the four quadrants of the political spectrum with John Roberts in each one of them with different decisions he's made over the past like year or two. It was rather recent to show how like kind of all over the board he can be.
Yeah, we're gonna it shows that John Roberts just decides what John Roberts wants to decide. There's not a whole underlying ideology there.
Yeah, he's not going to be ideologically consistent. He's just going to, John Roberts is going to do what John Roberts does. We're going to go to Bill from South Milwaukee on the line now. Bill, what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I wonder if this might be a case of solving a problem that doesn't exist. I mean, I have trouble believing that anyone in the top 5% or class at a Wisconsin high school wouldn't be admitted to Madison campus. And I'm, by the way, I am a proud Badger alum myself. Number two, when you talk about, how do you decide admissions? I mean, this idea that you, some people, I think, just want to set us, everything is standardized tests. Everybody above some level gets in, everybody below some gets down. And I think that's kind of ridiculous. And I might add an example of the way that things can be done. This is 20 years ago, the University of Michigan case, which was one of the ones that they threw out today in the Supreme Court. Everyone was all, horrified. Apparently, any black applicant to the University of Michigan got 20 bonus points on some scoring system. What wasn't mentioned is another way, if you were a resident of a quote unquote underrepresented Michigan county, you got 19 bonus points. Or as my wife said, can you spell Upper Peninsula? So that's the way it is, and I just think it's ridiculous. And I love the point the caller made about how here on one side of their mouth they're complaining about how the university supposedly indoctrinates, but then on the other, but get our students in there anyway. I mean, and of course Robin Voss's comment about he was embarrassed to be a UW system grad. Well, I would add number one, I'm not so sure Whitewater's proud of him either, and number two. That where would he rather have for his alma mater? Hillsdale College, Bob Jones University, University of Phoenix. I mean,
a lot of people who benefited from the UW system now turning around and complaining about the UW system. Good point, Bill.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Bill. Up next is Thursday afternoon. We got Rico from Rock County calling in. Rico, what are your thoughts on higher ed here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, Bill kind of stole my thoughts. I feel as though, this is like a solution looking for a problem. There's got to be a underlying reason for this. I just can't believe that the assembly tries to say there is that many people in Wisconsin that have come to them complaining that their kid can't get into college when they graduated in the upper 5%. I just find that hard to believe. So Bill took most of my thunder, and I got to get back to work, but thanks, guys.
We appreciate you listening on your break, Rico, or at least giving us a call during your break. I don't know if I have a problem, I guess, Will, with there being a mandate for ensuring that the best and brightest Wisconsinites get accepted to a UW school. I think the other question that we haven't got a chance to really touch on throughout this edition of Town Call would be, how do you determine which 5%, which members of the top 5% get to go to which school? Because you can't all go to Madison. You can't have everybody that would automatically benefit from this automatic acceptance go to one school. That's not going to work.
I don't like just using grades either, Luke. There are so many other valuable contributions a student can make.
Working with school
career.
Boards, I would hope that most school boards would say, yes, we want holistic students as well, and they would combine those criteria of ACT scores, of possible extracurriculars or volunteering opportunities, along with the GPA, because, yeah, the admissions process is not – there's not a – here's the line. If you go over it, you're in. If you're under it, you're out. It's not a practical way to fill the universities. But to act like this is all of a sudden going to be a cure-all, and Republicans aren't going to fight the UW system like they currently are with cutting the budget by $32 million during a surplus, I don't know what the answer is, Will.
I won't disagree with the more transparency is necessary. Transparency is always good. I think Bill made a really interesting point noting Michigan's scoring system how a lot of people were upset that, you know, plus 20 points for coming from a minority situation. But if you got plus 19 points from being an underrepresented location,
folks, this has been Town Call. We really appreciate you, all our excellent callers. This, we'll be back tomorrow. Talk to you at 12:15.
Take it easy, party people.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Mattinair.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.